I said that we were going to continue on. Because as I was reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, the parts I was hitting was the role of each person, the role of each body, what our role is. We all have a role. Now, like I said, I've been around the body of Christ since I was 8. And I have seen many, many, many times where people have tried to take the role that was not for them. And I can tell you right now, every time, it did not end well for them. And so we get ourselves into a pickle when we start thinking that we need to direct it. It's not my job to tell God what we're going to do. Because I can tell you right now, he has laughed at me several times. Yeah, you think you're going to do that? It's not what you're here for. But as we read down through there, there's much more to talk about. See, the problem with the way we have the Bible broke down for study purposes, for memorization purposes, is we forget that it was one continuous letter. And so we break it up. Well, that's just chapter 12. We don't need to worry about chapter 13, which is also known as the love chapter. But the reality was you have to, because at the end of chapter 12, Paul says, therefore, I will show you a better way. What better way? Well, that's what we're going to look at. So in 1 Corinthians, we're going to start in chapter 12. Start off here at 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all prophets, or are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? No, we're not. I can't sing a lick. There are certain things I just cannot do. And that's why you're here. I forget who I was talking to the other day. We were talking about when an anointing lifts off of you for something. We were the youth pastors at one time. And then the anointing lifted. And when the anointing lifted, you cannot continue to do it because you will do more harm than you will good. I've told you about when I knew that I was supposed to leave my job and start my business as a full-time employee. But the insurance was so good. I had extra money coming in. But I disobeyed God in the process. And so what ended up happening is it wasn't so good. Do all have gifts of healings? If you haven't figured it out, ladies and gentlemen, faith is faith. We all believe at a certain level. There are things that I know that I can lay hands on and pray, but I also understand that sometimes it's not up to me to heal people. I don't heal people. God does. But I cannot tell you how many people with cancer I have prayed for who have, it went away. It's gone. They're still alive today. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened because I've lost track. Does everybody live? Well, not everybody I pray for has. There have been people who have passed away. And it's not my point, or not my job, to sit here and ask myself, why? Oh, it was your lack of faith. Who am I to judge another man's faith? Seriously, who are we? I don't walk in Pat's shoes. So I can't judge his faith. The fact that he's still here, he's still holding on, praise God. Because I do know some of what he's been through. I know what a lot of you have been through, what you're going through. You're still here, right? Kudos. I salute you. You don't quit. Do all speak with tongues? Now he's talking about prophecies. In the body of Christ, there is supposed to be, there's actually an order to things. A lot of people want to get out of order. I'm going to tell you right now, God is a God of order. He did things in an order to begin with. Your body, you are created, you know, I don't care what they call the stage of the, of a baby when it's, after it's, you know, started, life has started. There's an order to it. I mean, it gets this great big eyeball. It's like, man, that thing looks like something out of E.T. But the baby starts to, it doesn't look like a human being. God didn't put hair on that thing and make it 21 inches long and stick it in your belly right away. Why, ladies? It would hurt really bad. You at least get the opportunity for this teeny tiny thing to grow and your body gets accustomed to it. Which is why I'm going to tell you, a lot of people think, well, that's just so wrong. You know these things where they instantly, they come out, the feminists primarily said, you know what, we carried that baby for 9 months, you can carry it. Two. You had 9 months for those muscles in your back to develop and adjust to that. You stick that baby on the front of a man who has not had that time to build up, his back's going to lock up. That's the same thing that happened when they threw those packs on our back. It's like, oh, where's Motrin? We need Motrin. Because we didn't have time to adjust and develop those muscles. By the time we got to the end of boot camp, man, we were throwing that 75-pound pack. We could slide it right over our arms, strap it together, and take off. I still didn't like it, but I could do it. To this day, I still don't like it. But you see, it takes time. I'll give you a short example. We watched a video, and Angela's like, this would be fun. And which you've probably seen the video. They got two nails and two logs and a group of two lines of people. With two hammers. And whichever team drives that nail into that log first wins. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Except, I bet each person had 10 times that they could hit that nail. And they could only hit it once. They had the nail sideways. They never could get the rhythm. Why? You've got to use a hammer a lot to be able to drive those nails like that. And even though I, you know, my chosen profession for almost 20 years was that of a carpenter, I prefer nail guns. You don't hurt as bad. A lot of people, I don't need nail guns. Well, that's good. That's for you. I got tendonitis, really bad in the elbows. So it's great to have. But you see, it takes practice. So I'll get off of that. Do all interpret. Be earnest, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. These are all things that are to build you up, to build the body of Christ up. What could be more excellent? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What you are is me on the drum set. I think in my head I sound great. Yeah. You're out here. Oh, please make him stop. Without love. So what if I can speak in tongues? I have not love. And on that, I'm going to say something. Because I got asked this morning. Pastor, I noticed you don't pray in tongues when you pray anymore. That's observant. How many of you noticed? A few of you. There's a reason. The Holy Spirit convicted me. Because not everybody's where I'm at. I pray that you get there, but it doesn't matter. There will always be somebody who doesn't know, somebody who does not understand. And I can stand up here and I can preach 10 messages on it, but they may not get the understanding. And the Holy Spirit said, you're hurting people. When you do that, because see, I was raised primarily, we started out Church of Christ, Free Will Baptist, and then after that it was pretty much charismatic, tongue-talking churches. And they're so proud about this. We're going to pray in tongues, everybody to start. Well, that's great if you're all there and you're all in one work, you know, one accord on this, but the reality is, if there's one person who doesn't understand, you just hurt them. And God told me that when I do that up here, that I'm not bringing forth a word of that needs to be interpreted to bless you, that I'm hurting people. That's not my job. Sure, you might get hit with the shoe I throw from time to time. But my job is not to hurt you. My job is not to run out the new believer, not to run out the person who came in seeking Christ. And all they see is some goofball up there babbling. That's why. By the way, that's in Galatians and 1 Corinthians 8. That if we let our liberties hurt somebody else, it's sin to us. Now, one place he's talking about food. Another one, he's talking about the law. But the reality is, it's all the same. I can't hurt you. It's not my job to hurt you. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Sometimes love, you have to put yourself in their shoes. Now, that doesn't mean that their shoes are always right, but it gives you a perspective of how you can help them. I read the book, How to Win Friends. I read part of the book. If you've ever started to read How to Win Friends and Influence People, it's a long book. But the reality is, he was talking about an argument. If you're in a debate with somebody, he said, you want to win it? Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes and see the situation from their point of view. Oh, man. I didn't understand what I was doing and how they saw it. And sometimes it'll also help you that let's say Tim and I had a debate. And I started seeing it from Tim's point of view. But even though I was actually right, still got to put myself in his point of view to look over. And now I have understanding of what Tim's thinking. And so now I can take my words and articulate them in such a way that that person understands. I know because I had to do it. And when the person saw, when I saw what they were looking at, and I was able to convey the words correctly. You know, your words can put out a fire or they can light a big one. That put out the fire. And that woman just loved us like we were her own, at that point, grandchildren. She told everybody about us. She told her kids about us. She talked about us all the time in a good way. Even though we had almost a knockdown, drag-out fight. But when I saw how she saw it, I was able to say it right. But if I've got the faith that I'm going to speak to this mountainous problem that's in your life and it goes away, but I'm not doing it because I love you, I'm doing it because I'm trying to manipulate you, that's wrong. Manipulation should never, ever, ever be a part of our MO. Should never be. We should never do something for somebody to try to sway them. It's supposed to be illegal in this country, especially with politicians and such. But we do it. People do it all the time. I had one woman, if you pray for me and this property sells, I'll tithe here. I still ain't seen the money. By the way, she's off her rocker now, just so you know. I didn't have nothing to do with that. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. These are all good things, aren't they? I'm feeding the poor. I'm helping the sick. I took the place of somebody else at the stake. And if I didn't do it for them, for the love of them, but I did it for my own good, you're a photo op. A couple years ago, I had the opportunity to work with a company that was taking down old barns. And the gal that sought me out, she said, "No, here's a show they did. They recorded this show, and what was it called? Home Sweet Barn. And they did an episode shot in Apple Valley outside Mount Vernon. And this company is the one that built the barn, or took the barn and put it back together over in Apple Valley. I still have yet to see it, but I started asking the guys about it, because there was actually a partner that was a part of that nobody knew about. I met him a couple times, and each time I met him, because he knew I was the supervisor now, he said, "Please be safe." After working with the owner of the company, I now understand why he was begging me to be safe, because he was not safe. And anyhow, this guy's an attorney in Columbus. He was the money behind it. And I asked one of the guys that was on the crew there that time, and I said, so what did the attorney? They said, "Oh, he's in it. He's in the video." He said, "If you watch the thing, he's the only one they talk to." I said, "So what did he do?" He said, "Whenever the camera came around, he picked up a hammer. And then he put it back down and walked away." He was just there for himself. Not the real moving of showing how this barn is being put back together. It was strictly himself. They said, "Yeah, if he did do something, it was only when the camera was rolling on him." That's unfortunate. I don't believe they are still even a company anymore, but if we are not doing the things we're doing, if you're not working with the children because you love the children, it's pointless to you. It profits you nothing. Everything we do should profit us. I do what I do because I have grown to love you. I have grown to love people. I didn't always like people. Alaska was looking really good to me until I got the realization of how long it's cold. A long time. And dark. Or full-on sun. Either way, Alaska lost its lure to me. But I've grown to love people. I've grown to love the unlovable. So what I'm doing today profits me, because I'm doing it out of love. Love suffers long and is kind. Do you understand? It suffers long and is kind. Yes, it can bring about a rebuke, but it can bring it about in kindness, so that you aren't destroying the person. They may be just in ignorance. How many times have you done something and you got older as an adult and found out that's not really the way it was done, but that's how I was taught to do it? I was always taught that Job sinned. That he sinned before the Lord because he was whining. And yet the word says, and in all of this, Job did not sin. But see, in all the people that I had sat under, all the people that had taught me, they taught me an error, because they had an agenda they wanted to push. Do I think fear opened the door? Yeah, I do. I think it did. It was there. The thing that I feared. That doesn't mean that the devil wasn't going to try, but God had protection around him. The devil couldn't. He had tried, but something opened the door. And God needed it out of there. After that, Job learned to trust God. And Job wasn't a Jew. Imagine that. He was a Gentile, just like us. He didn't have the law to live by. He just did what he thought was right. Well, how much better should we be living our lives? We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. don't do that, Tim. Don't do that. It's not going to go well for you. And then Tim's like, oh, man, I should have listened to the Holy Spirit. Anyhow, love does not envy. It's not jealous of each other. Well, so many people, and this is where they always go for, I can do a better job than pastor. You probably could. But are you called? Because I'm not doing this because I thought I was good. I was happy being a sound man. I was happy cleaning the toilets. I was a little scared when he said, this is what you're going to do now. But you know what I found? I'm happy when I'm doing what God has told me to do. Not so happy when I'm not doing it. Love does not parade itself. Back in 03, I think it was, 03, 04, we had this thing in the county. It's called the Jesus Celebration. Some of you remember it. Some of you were part of it. And, you know, it looked good. It sounded good. We did, and I think something happened in many people. But right after, that's when God gave me a dream of people doing monkey drills. If you don't know what that is, that's the military showing off their drill skills. They're doing all kinds of fancy things and that do not work because they are not. All drill is originates around battlefield movements, if you didn't know that. It's how they move people in and out of a battle formation. But monkey drills aren't. They're just showing off. We were pretty good at them, too. And it was fun. It was fun doing monkey drills. It's kind of like the silent drill teams. It's a monkey drill. That's the only one any of them really allow. Because now it's a competition. They make mistakes, by the way, with bayonets attached. That can be detrimental. But it's not puffed up. It does not parade itself. So what did we do? We paraded down Main Street. Floats, all this stuff. It became a contest. I'm going to tell you what, we had a gorgeous float. And I think it was just last year I finally threw the stuff away. It was been in the shed. Yeah, I think I've still got some of the wood. But you see, we paraded it. And then we thought, we got to do this again. Well, I was on the board. I'm like, God has already showed me, no, we shouldn't be doing this. But we wanted to do it. And I doubted myself and what the Holy Spirit had told me. So we did it again. And as I'm standing up here getting to share my part, I mean, you know what ended up happening? People felt that that was the time they needed to start bringing forth prophecies. That's out of order. That is absolutely 110% out of order. God does not stop what he's doing here so that we can feel good. And the two people that I saw doing it were, yeah, out of order. I'll just stop there. Because I saw this happen once in a larger situation with pastors. Everybody in the congregation was a minister of one sort. They were a pastor, bishop, apostle, evangelist. The people on the stage, many of them were evangelists. And they were teaching. And this one guy, I was listening to him. I was on the edge of my seat. I was eating it up. And this woman got up, another minister. She got up. She cut him off. And she started doing some things that, in my opinion, are goofy. And you know, I could see he didn't want to, and I don't think he agreed with it. But he had to let it happen because love does not want to be embarrassing. It doesn't want to embarrass you. That was the beginning of the end for me. I've never listened to any of those teachings again. And I honestly didn't really care for her anyhow, but it was just a personality conflict. But it was out of order. the Holy Spirit is not out of order. There is an order. There was an order of creation. It had to happen that way for a reason. And I do believe Genesis records a restoration just from the actual wording of Genesis. But love is not puffed up. It doesn't have to go around bragging on itself all the time. You know, I have come to realize, and the jokes, and it is kind of funny, and it's just like, oh my Lord, I'm guilty of this. And in Marines, we even know it. We bring it up in every person we meet. We do. I realized the other day, I brought it up. Why? It didn't need to come up, but I did. So I'm working on it because it's pride. It's not a good pride. Am I proud of what I did? Absolutely. As every person who has ever served this country in whatever branch they've served in. But I did it out of that arrogant pride. So I am working on that. Love does not behave rudely. Holy, let's just stop there for a minute. I want, Selah. Calmly think about this. Well, I've got an opinion, I got to get it out. Well, you just need to shut up first. Because right now you're being rude and I want to slap you. And the fact that I'm not is the grace of God that I haven't already turned your snarl into a Picasso. Because love is not rude. There are preachers today that I have met and know, and I do not like them. They are rude. One of the most anointed violinists I have ever met, and he is known throughout the world. Angela's like, oh, wasn't he great? He came to our church down in North Carolina. Oh, what? I said, yes, that was beautiful. I mean, he's played on a lot of big stages. Problem is, I got to know him behind the stage. I said, he's a rude, obnoxious jackass. What? I said, yeah, he's a totally different person behind the, out here with us. I said, I don't care if he ever comes back. And if he does, maybe I'll take a leave and go home. But you see, it was how he treated people behind the scenes. I want to know how you're treating people outside. Are you rude to everybody? If you are, you've got a problem and you need to straighten up. I don't care if you're young, old, in the middle. Doesn't matter. The Bible does not give us excuses due to our age for treating people badly. Love knows no age. Love does not seek its own. No, you do have to take care of yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get this right. You have to take care of yourself. The airline is the first ones that'll teach you this. If you've got a child and the mask comes down, put yours on first. Oh, no, I got to get my baby. Your butt is going to pass out. And then your baby's going to die. Because you didn't listen. Put your mask on and then put theirs on. Problem solved. If you aren't taking care of yourself, well, I just live for my children. You're already wrong. You're wrong. When are your children going to run for their dreams? Oh, they'll do it. No, they won't because they didn't see the example. You've got to run for your dreams. Joshua's farming now. I could not do that for him. Couldn't do it. I wanted to try to help him. Like, I don't have this opportunity. It's not my thing. But what I did do is I showed my boys by living my life, and even at 31, walking away from a job and starting a business. I just bought my house. Lord, I just bought a house. Then I turned around, and a month later, I bought a truck. Had to have it. But what I got to show my boys is by walking by faith and running for my dreams, not neglecting them. They got to do things. But my life is not to live for them. Because guess what? Some of the things that they thought they wanted to do, I tried to talk Joshua out of being a diesel mechanic. He just loved being a mechanic. I said, no, you don't want to. You don't want to. Don't do it. He's got this great big truck with a 10,000-pound crane on it and loaded with tools. But you know what? He ran for his dreams. That's why he's where he's at. Why? Because he's seen me run for mine. And then he got to see, well, my dream changed. It's no longer a construction business, even though I've been in construction the entire time we've had the church. Because we're still working on it. But he saw me grab another gear, and my dream changed. So you need to understand. There's times we have to understand we are supposed to lead. People should, your kids should see you striving for your dreams, striving for better. That's how each generation gets better. My grandfather died on welfare. 14 kids, no legs, lived on government assistance ever since then. Always had problems with alcohol, smoking, until his deathbed. He surrendered his life just before then. None of his kids have followed the exact same path because they didn't want to live with dirt floors anymore. They didn't want to be in the newspaper as the family that won the free furniture because they were too poor to have a couch. I got the clipping. You'd think, oh, that's great. But you know what those siblings see? They see the dirt floor. The goats standing on top of the house. They see the poverty of a three-room shack. And at that point, 12 kids. They saw the poverty and they all ran for something. So anyhow, it is not provoked. Love should not be provoked into a fight with another person like this. Now, if somebody's trying to hurt Matt, love's not provoked against Matt. Love's provoked against the person who's trying to hurt Matt because he's my brother. And if they start winning, I'm jumping in. I'll bite his ankles, okay? You take him high, I'll take him low. Love thinks no evil. This is the hardest one for me. Because I come from a family that, oh, they're out to get me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know personally what I'm talking about? They're all out after me. They're all against me. Who? I don't know, but they are. I had to sit with a woman one time and we were eating dinner and their meal came out and it wasn't cooked right. Okay, no problem. And right out of her mouth, they know it's me. They did that on purpose. I said, no, they don't. They don't care that you're out here. They don't know who you are. I said, that could have been my meal. See, that's pride. That's not love. Well, they know who I am. Do you know how many people in this village don't know who I am? And it's a little over 3,000. Nobody knows, not very many people know who I am. Not that many people know who you are sometimes. Sometimes I like the anonymity. You get to walk up and you get to listen. Okay. You get to find out a lot of truths. But love thinks no evil. It's not believing the worst in people. That's what hurts the church. And I have to stand against that regularly. Because like I've said, as the pastor, and I now know through the scriptures, through personal experience, there's a lot of people trying to come up here and take it. They're doing it in other ways. We're going to talk about false prophets in a couple weeks. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. I don't rejoice to find out that you fell. I don't rejoice to find out that the pastor down the street had an affair. Hello. I knew it all along. He was cheating on her. Then why didn't you go say something to him? Brother, you're wrong. I know you're having an affair with so-and-so. But no, you rejoiced in the fact that they fell. So much of the church rejoiced in the fact that Jimmy Swaggart fell. Not thinking one time that when he fell, the body of Christ got two big black eyes. That's why the Bible tells us to pray for those in these positions. We shouldn't rejoice that somebody got caught. But maybe it is an opportunity now for them to get their life squared away and turned around. Well, I'm going to go bail them out of jail again. I know a particular man, real life man, was, who got, I don't know how many times he was bailed out of jail by his brother-in-law. Oh, go get my brother out of jail. He's arrested for driving and drugs again. And every time he would bail him out, he'd come to church for about 3 weeks. And then one time he got bailed out and didn't come to church because he OD'd. What are you saying, Pastor? I'd have let his butt stay in jail for a while. He was safe. I've told my kids, you screw up and you do things, you're going to have to pay the piper. I'll do what I can do to help you make it sting a little less, but that's it. I get a ticket, I pay the ticket. No matter how much I don't like it. Which is, there's no measurement on how much I don't like them. But we rejoice in truth. Love rejoices in truth. The freedom. I've got a brother that got a DUI. He had to deal with it. I rejoice in the truth, that the truth being the freedom that he got free from alcohol because of it. And I love him. Because to come to me took stones and humility. See, we don't want to do that. We don't want to humble ourselves. To walk in love, you have to humble yourself. See, I know I get called out. People think I'm arrogant and cocky and all that stuff all the time. Yes, I am. You know why? Because I was told I was small, I was insignificant, and I was worthless as a child. By people who loved me. Loved. The Marine Corps taught me something. I don't have to put up with that crap anymore. But I'll die for you. I'll fight for you. Yes, I'm very confident in my calling. And I know that if anybody does try to come at me, God is the one you're going to meet. Because if I deal with you, it's going to be bad. God will deal with you with kid gloves because you're his kid. But what you choose to do with what he does, it's another story. He's just mad. He's just a control freak. You do not know me whatsoever. I don't want to control any of you. I can't control her. I've been married almost 33 years. Bob, have you figured out how to control her mother? You got a few more years under your belt dealing with a very similar person. No, there's no way. Yeah, I try to give up, but then there's that stubborn part of me that says, no, I'm going to stop here. We're to rejoice in truth, ladies and gentlemen, and to freedom. The truth of that young man who OD'd, the truth to rejoice in was that he was caught and could get some help. But see, people think that they can only deal with things spiritually. Well, I'll get you saved and you'll be free. Everybody in here is saved, right? I hope so, and if not, we can take care of that. But getting saved does not automatically deliver you from drugs and alcohol and sexual abuse. Doesn't do it. There's a fight. Oh, but brother, I believe there's a spirit that comes upon you and you can cast that spirit out and it comes back 7 times stronger looking. And if you are not spending the time getting 7 times stronger yourself, it's going to kick your can. We should rejoice. I rejoiced when Monica told me she was going to leave her job and step out into a new world. I rejoice, but I also know the realities of being self-employed. You're paying all your own taxes now. It's all on you. There ain't a boss you can go. You can't go complain to your boss no more. Go look in the mirror. I always joke with people. Some people just didn't get it. I always say, you know, I wanted a job where if I got, me and my boss had a problem, I could look him in the face and tell him what I thought of him and to go home, get a bed, and get back up in a better attitude and not go to jail for it. That's what I told a sergeant. And I said, then one day I became self-employed and it's kind of hard to look yourself in the mirror, tell yourself to go get back in bed, get in a better mood, and get up. Because you know in the back of your head, if I go back to bed, I'm not getting up for several hours. Now I'm behind. I'm going to be in a worse attitude. I rejoice that maybe you did struggle a little bit. Because I'm telling you right now, championship teams have players who struggled. You know, we just watched the Super Bowl. Quarterback for the 49ers. Wasn't picked first. I think he was last, right? He played in the Super Bowl. Holy smoke. Struggles. He now has this, I was picked dead last in the entire country. Out of the small percentage of high school and college football players that go on to become professionals, I was last. Woohoo! That's something you shout from the mountaintops, isn't it? I'm last! But sometimes the struggle makes you stronger. You got to fight. I will use them, and here I will talk about Marine Corps stuff. I'm going to quit trying to bring it up in conversations with everybody, but I'm telling you because you've all seen the commercials where they take somebody and they show them going through struggles, climbing, doing whatever. That's what takes place. That's what builds you. That's what makes you different than you were before, was the struggle. I think Miley Cyrus called it the climb. It's what defines you. Well, I just never struggled. You've never fought. What's it like to be a pacifist? You know, pacifists go with whatever authority is in, right? They have to. They ain't going to fight. Looking around in here, I'm pretty sure most of our upbringing, we were told to fight for our freedoms. Your dad fought in World War II. My grandpa fought in the Revolutionary War. You fought in Vietnam. You fought in Vietnam. We've got a generation now that has fought overseas. In two countries that have forsaken God. There's a struggle that takes place when you're growing spiritually. Oh, but I want to say something to them. Maybe you ought to just zip it and let God say it to them in a way that they can get. Like I said, I was always brought up in a church. If we're a tongue-filled church, we're a spirit-filled church. We're going to be praying in tongues, running on the seats, rolling in the aisles. Well, I was never much into the pageantry of that. If God moves on you and you get free from something, you got to dance and you dance. But I always find it funny how we had went to a church one time, several meetings. This same couple came up and they danced in front of everybody. But they sat in the back in a corner that had more than enough room to dance. But they wanted everybody to see them dance. If we're dancing for somebody else, we're wrong. That's all there is to it. If I'm praising the Lord, if I'm up here on the front row, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, shouting and jumping, which is not me. It's not my personality. I don't want the attention on me. I want you to worship God. I want you to feel free to lift your hands, not because pastor's up there praising the Lord, but because you're actually participating. That's the point. Get free from it. Leave the shackles outside and walk by them when you leave. There are preachers I know that they're, oh, if you don't say amen 10 times during the service, they think you weren't listening. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There's attitudes and faces I can see up here. I'm thinking about getting a little Nerf football. I'm actually pretty accurate for short distances. Doink. Wake up. Because I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. I have fought many of the struggles. I have been with pastors. I have seen them hurt. I have seen the people in the body of Christ hurt because love was not the rule of the day. Love has to also know when to lift the sandpaper and see when when the grain and everything is where it's supposed to be. We're going to keep moving on this. Like I said, it was just kind of something the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me, and he's like, you notice how the books were all written, and you know how they passed these around to churches? Corinthians got the first letter, and then they read so many, and then they passed it on to the church at Ephesus. And that's how it went. But they read these so that they could tell people, okay, and we're going to get into some other things down the road, I believe. But to show that there are gifts, there's still order, you have a place. Your place is not my place, and my place is not your place. There's nothing good comes out of 10 chiefs and one brave. Everybody wants to be the chief, except the true chief. Because they know the reality. Everybody's got a knife. All right, let's stand. Pastor, sounds like you're paranoid. When you get bit by a dog, sometimes you just kind of make sure that the dog's not going to bite you again. And I do that by preaching you the word so that if you are thinking about doing something stupid, Understand, God's going to deal with you. And I pray he does. Because when you get free, when you're walking in God's freedom, when you're walking in love, then God can work in you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your power of that word. Lord, I pray right now that as we all begin to examine ourselves against your word, Father, that we will strive to not believe evil reports as soon as they come out, knowing that half the time they've been twisted to fit somebody else's agenda anyhow. But Father, that we will believe for freedom. We will believe the good. We will rejoice in the freedom. Father, we will not behave rudely. We will not behave puffy and arrogant. But Lord, we will walk in your truth. We will walk in your power. And now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for these people. Lord, I bless them. I bless them with the power to go forth and to love the unlovable. Lord, I'm not going to bless them with prosperity. I'm going to bless them with love. Move in their lives, Father. You give us opportunity each and every day to bless people with that love. Remind us of it before that opportunity goes. In Jesus' name, amen.